Welcome to the weekly Wahoo Central podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is UVA women's basketball coach Joanne Boyle. Joanne, thanks for stopping by as we wait for the great storm of 2014.
It's coming.
Your week got a little more interesting Tuesday when it was announced that the game at Georgia Tech was being moved from Tuesday night to Friday night because of the storm. You play Sunday night. You were supposed to play Sunday night against Virginia Tech here at JPJ. How difficult is Mother Nature making things for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of threw us off course here, but, you know, there was an option for us to go down last night, and my fear of that was we go down and the storm hits Atlanta so hard and we can't even play the game, and then we get stuck down there. So we just kind of made a decision with Jane Miller administration just to kind of wait it out a little bit, and hopefully, you know, they get the worst of it this next day and a half, and we can either get out Thursday night or as late as maybe even Friday morning to play the game Friday night.
Right, then back here after and get ready for Tech.
Yeah.
You went into the season with nobody taller than 6'2" on your roster, so clearly there were going to be some challenging matchups along the way. Your team has had some fantastic wins, some disappointing losses. Has the season unfolded the way you thought it might?
I mean, I don't know if you ever look ahead and can kind of predict, but, you know, I was so excited. You know, we started out, we really had a rough start to the season, and, you know, we were trying to get the three seniors back healthy. I think it took all three of them 10 games to kind of really get back in the flow and bring the young kids along. So when we hit ACC season and we had some big wins, you know, we played really Notre Dame really tough, and, you know, it just felt like we had found our identity and we had a rhythm to our team, and, you know, beat some good teams at home, Maryland, and, you know, just really found our identity at home and have played great at home, and then have gone on the road. And for whatever reason, as a coach, you're always trying to say, what are we not doing? What can I do better for them? How can I help them better? But, you know, we'll go on the road and be up 10,
right,
15
second
points.
Half.
And then in the last 10 minutes of the game, we just kind of panic and we play more of a fear to lose than an excitement to win. And so that's been hard to kind of watch that happen. So, you know, we just have some good conversations about that and just trying to work through some of that stuff.
You mentioned the three seniors, Atara Franklin, Lexi Gerson, and Kelsey Wolf. They all seem to be playing at a really high level now, despite having had to deal with injuries throughout their careers. You've had 3 years with them now. How do you think you'll remember your time with those three?
You know, I told them the other day, they remind me of a class I had at Richmond, my first, second year coaching there. We had just a really special group there at Richmond, and three seniors in particular, captains, just great leaders. And these three remind me so much of them. And, not only embracing what leadership is supposed to look like, but, you know, they, in order to be great leaders, they had to kind of get stretched. They had to get outside their comfort zone of what they thought leadership was and take on more of a role and be in it day to day with the young kids and bring the young players along. And I feel like they've done a really good job of that. So for me, looking back, I mean, when you think about coaching, and, you know, I've always looked at success, part of your success is, you know, when you're 25 and 30, are you still talking to your players? These are three that I can't imagine that would not be in my life 10 years from now, and just talking about where they are in their lives and stuff, because it's been a coaching, there's been a connection from coach to player, but there's also been this friendship developed over the course of time that, you know, hopefully will be long lasting after they graduate.
I asked you this a couple weeks ago for the story I wrote on Atara. Is it hard not to wonder sometimes how good she might have been if she hadn't had the knee problems?
Because
clearly she's, even with the knee problems, she's going to leave here ranked in the top 10, top 15 of a lot of big categories.
Yeah, it is hard to watch. And she doesn't, I mean, the great thing about, I call her Frankie, she doesn't complain. She figures out how to get herself ready for practices and games through all her stuff she does in the training room. But yeah, to kind of look back when I had her sophomore year, my first year here, and the pep in her step, you know, in some ways, and what she was able to do, and then just how slowly that kind of has been taken away from her, and it's more about managing her and managing her minutes and her practice time. And but again, she doesn't complain, and she just does the best that she can, and she's helped us, you know, with a lot of big wins this season.
Sarah Mobio is far and away your number one rebounder. She's also third on the team in scoring. Where is Sarah in her development as a basketball player? Because I know she was described as raw when she got here.
I would say, you know, she still falls into that category of raw because she's, you know, she has to have her skills refined. This is the first year. I mean, she played for us last year as a true freshman. This year, she played some. This year is obviously where she's getting the majority of her minutes. And so it's just about refining her moving forward. I mean, obviously the conditioning, you know, that has all come to fruition. And now it's just about her skill set. And part of it is if we can get, you know, in the next class, another dominant post player, somebody with some size, I think it takes some pressure off of Sarah too, because right now she's our only inside presence, legitimate. And so, you know, for what I would term her as a sophomore, a true sophomore, it's a lot of pressure. She's got to deliver for us in the paint a lot. And so for her to be able to play off of somebody a little bit, I think would be really helpful for her too. But again, she just constantly is learning the game. And you know, this spring, this summer is really to kind of get her a couple more moves in her game, and hopefully her junior and senior year will be dominant for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, because of the eligibility issue she had as a first year, she's listed as a junior on the roster, even though it's only her second year on the court. Are you still expecting to get a fifth year for her? And can you just explain to people how that works?
Yeah. What she has to do is complete her undergraduate degree in the 4 years, but she'll get, she'll have the ability to have that extra year because the way it happened for her as an international student, there was a gap in her transcript because of a strike that her school went on. So she was penalized academically by having to sit out a year, but not penalized with her eligibility year.
So ideally then you have her for two more years. Is big. Faith Randolph might be the most improved player in the ACC this year, including Rayshawn Gaffney. You have four freshmen on the roster, and they've been up and down this year. Is it realistic to think that any of them might make the same kind of jump that Faith did between her first and second years?
I mean, I hope so. But, you know, there's no magic potion to do that other than what Faith did was actually literally spend her summer in the gym. I mean, it's not like she became a year older and it just happened. I mean, every time I came into the office, the ball's bouncing at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's Faith Randolph. I leave, you know, 5, 6 o'clock at night in the off season, the ball's bouncing, it's Faith Randolph in the gym. So there's no secret here other than putting the time in. And if they're willing to put the time in and really work on their game, and she did the other part of that, which is really bought into the strength and conditioning and the nutrition piece, because she really changed her body, and that helped her game. And so, if people are willing to do that, then I don't think there's any reason, because there's a lot of talent in that class.
You signed a highly ranked recruiting class in November with Kelsey, Lexi, and Frankie leaving. Do you need this incoming group to have an immediate impact next season? And can you give us a quick scouting report on each of those players?
We do. You know, every year as you coach, and you know, your goal is to always recruit, you know, a high level of talent. And so it's our third class coming in, and some great pieces to the puzzle. I think they'll be great additions. I think they're all very capable of playing immediately. I've never promised that to anybody, but I think obviously with who we're losing, what we have and their additions in terms of filling some gaps and some needs immediately, I think they fulfill that. Michaela Vincent, true point guard, obviously her dad, people might know him, but he played at Georgetown and then played at James Madison, and he was a great player and a true point guard, just has all the heady, great basketball IQ, fast, runs a team, can score, can shoot it, can get to the rim. I mean, she's a prototype true point guard. And so I think she's going to be able to come in and really have great leadership skills too, very vocal on the floor. Aaliyah Hooland-El, big wing. She kind of, you know, we played the same position in college, and it's funny, as a coach, you start to look at people that you're like, what do we need? And I love what she brings to the table. She's got long length. She's great defender. She'll be a great addition to us in the matchup zone. She shoots the three very well. She needs to work on her mid-range game. Speed, got great speed, good basketball IQ. I mean, she's got a lot of the pieces. Her biggest thing is like she's thin, so putting some weight on her and getting her stronger and all of that. But again, I think another great addition. And then Lauren Moses, kind of a stretch four, can really shoot it. her high school team and her AU team. She's played on great high school and AU teams throughout her entire career. So she's always played against great competition. Winner's mentality, good rebounder. Can do a lot. She's got a lot of guard skills. So, again, she can shoot it. She can post up. She's got good feet. I mean, when you look at post players, she's got good feet and good hands. And you can do a lot with good feet and good hands.
You've been an assistant coach at Duke, the head coach at Richmond, Cal, and now UVA. Those are all schools that take academics very seriously. How does that affect recruiting? Does it scare away some prospects, or is it a big selling point in general?
More so than not, I think it's a big selling point for women in particular because, you know, the league is 122 student athletes, and, you know, with the WNBA, I mean, there's only 11 or 12 teams, and opportunities overseas are getting I mean, they're not as abundant as they used to be. I mean,
really?
With the economy, and it's tough. I mean, there's players of caliber in the WNBA that couldn't find jobs this year. So in the last 2 years, there's been less and less jobs overseas too. So again, there's not this, you know, these opportunities out there that are just, you know, it's not similar to what the men have. So I think there is a lot of thought in future after basketball for women. And so I think academics plays a huge piece in that and is very attractive. And, you know, as a person who's always been in academic school, the one thing that I've kind of learned over the course of time in the business is who is a good fit for an academic school. So my eye immediately goes to probably a little bit of a prototype of the type of student athlete that's going to be successful here. I think as a younger coach, you try and maybe sometimes fit a square peg in a round hole and it doesn't work. And I've kind of learned my lessons over the course of time of what really works. And so I feel like I have a really good feel for Virginia because it is similar to the schools I've been at before. What type of student athlete will be successful here and what won't? Because if you really try and put somebody here that's not going to fit, you're going to overwhelm them. And in the end, if they're not happy in the classroom, they're going to be miserable in the court. And so it doesn't really bode well to put kids in that situation time and time again. Now, you can maybe carry somebody on your team once in 4 years, once every 3 years that needs a little bit more guidance. But if they're willing to work, you can handle that. You can't have a whole team of that. And so I feel like we pretty much as assistants, as my assistants have done a great job of kind of weeding those people out.
While we're talking academics, you have a bachelor's degree in economics from Duke, a master's in health policy and administration from North Carolina. Those are serious majors. Did you consider other careers before you got into coaching?
I was headed to the Peace Corps. That was my goal in life. I wanted to be in the Peace Corps. And so the econ major was because Duke didn't have an undergraduate business major. And so my dad always said, major in something that's going to be useful. So I guess econ I thought was going to be useful, although I didn't particularly enjoy it. And I always tell the girls here, find something you like to study, because I honestly didn't necessarily enjoy my academic endeavors at Duke because economics was very difficult. And so I had to find other things, electives, to really enjoy my academic career there. But I loved studying healthcare. I loved that at Chapel Hill. And I really did. I thought that was going to kind of be my calling. And I kind of did a little stint in hospital administration and ultimately wanted to kind of go in the Peace Corps. And that all got set aside when I met Gail Gestenkors at Duke and just fell in love with kind of what her vision was for Duke women's basketball and took a leap of faith and jumped in. And 6 months into it, 23 years later, here I am.
Here you are. Virginia played in three Final Fours in the early 90s and been to the Sweet 16 12 times. A lot of that success, though, occurred when today's high school players were either very young girls or not even born. Does the tradition of this program mean a lot? Does it resonate with the players you're recruiting now?
I don't know if it does so much for the younger kids. The seniors definitely understand it. I think that's kind of the generation where it might have kind of stopped a little bit. I try and share that with them all the time. I mean, obviously Debbie's success here and I mean, when I was playing, Virginia was the school, you know, and so I'm very aware of it. And obviously my assistants were a little bit older, but we always try and talk about the history and the tradition, and it's everywhere in JPJ. So you can't, you know, you can't not see it. And obviously with JPJ and that arena over there, you know, and everything that's kind of in that arena, I mean, there's a visual to what it's supposed to look like. And so our job as a staff is to, you know, and I told Craig this when I came, like, I want to get it back to where it was. That's my goal.
That leads me to my final question. Coaches are generally not the most patient people in the world, and I'm sure you'd prefer to be further along in year three than you are right now. But, you know, that said, do you still feel good about the direction the program's heading?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just feel like we're always talking to great quality student athletes. I feel like, you know, we're not every day, but we're, you know, we're in the mix with some really top level student athletes moving forward. I know I kind of lean on Tony and kind of his journey and what he's been through and what that's looked like for him. And, so I, you know, I have hope and hold on to that, that, you know, we get up every day as a coaching staff and do the best we can and put the right, you know, student athletes here at the school and try and coach them up and do the best we can. And the chip's going to be where they fall. But I feel really good about kind of our vision and the process that we're going through. Although, like you said, as coaches, you always want it right now and sooner and faster. And maybe the plan is it's got to be a little bit longer of a journey. And you never know. You know, in basketball, it's like one or two games can turn around your season. So it's like we got six games left. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for where this season can go. And obviously there's no, you know, there's no – It's pretty obvious we need a big, and we're out there trying to find a big. I think we got a lot of quality guards coming through the program, and we're adding some different pieces. And so I think long term, I just got to be a little bit more patient with the process. But like I said, one or two games can turn your season around.
Absolutely. Well, Joanne, thanks again for stopping by. Good luck getting to Atlanta. Yeah. Good luck in Atlanta. We'll see you Sunday at JPJ.
Appreciate it.
I'll be back here next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. In the meantime, remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.